And with that, Legislator Litz, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Sure.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Clerk Tierney, please do roll call.
Chair Petit.
Here.
Deputy Chair Fabiano cannot be here tonight. Legislator Litz.
Here.
Legislator Nolan.
Here.
Legislator Erner.
Here.
You have quorum, Chairwoman.
Okay. I would like to take some of our resolutions out of order because we do have Public Works here. And
you want to do the minutes first? Or
no? Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Make a motion.
I do have a question, though. I got something from Johanna about 337, maybe.
Excuse me.
That's a new email, right?
That's correct.
It's been a whirlwind day. I mean, I'm getting all this stuff kind of, so I'm sorry I'm scattered, and we have lots of different paperwork to... Yeah? Okay.
Well, whatever you want to do at 337, okay. That's up to you guys. But.
Okay. But with Legislator Nolan's recommendation, I will take a motion to on the minutes.
So moved.
Second.
That we approve.
Okay. Any discussion? Questions? Okay, hearing none, I'll call the vote. All in favor of approving the July 17th meeting minutes?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Okay, so I have, and I will forward this to you while it's open. On Elizabeth Manor, it says, "Hi, Laura." This is from Johanna Contreras. "No worries, we would like to postpone Resolution 337 and we'll discuss the idea you mentioned below." So I'll forward the whole email. Nate, were you aware of this and do you want to speak on...
Thank you, Chair, but no, I'm fine.
Okay.
I'll make a motion we postpone.
Thank you.
I'll second.
And just while I'm thinking of it, I should just hand you my computer and get it to the other... Okay. And with that, since we do have Public Works here, I would like to take resolutions out of order.
Yeah. Call a question?
Yes.
On the postponement?
Oh.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you so much. Yeah, keep me straight, guys. Okay. So which ones were we looking at? We were looking at 439 would be the first one then.
439 or 49? 49.
Well, 439 is leasing the space.
Yeah, that's.
We have 446 through 454. Okay. Resolution number 439, authorizing the execution of sublease agreement with the Ulster County Economic Development Alliance, Inc. for space at the Workforce Innovation Center located at iPark 87 in the town of Ulster. Motion to discuss, thank you. Second?
Second.
Okay. Did anyone besides me, and I had my questions answered, but did anyone have questions or would you like to open this up for discussion?
I just have some typos. All in the second whereas, second paragraph I have here. They both say that there would be certain criteria met in 2030 and in 2050, and I think they mean by 2030 and by 2050. Because if they got done ahead of 2030, that would be fine. So they don't have to be in 2030. It's a tiny typo, but I don't want anybody to think that they have to make those changes just in that year. You see where it is?
That's what you're referring to.
Yeah, it's Whereas it's expected to create hundreds of thousands of new jobs in the next several decades, increasing net employment by an estimated 179,000 jobs in 2030 and 260,000 jobs in 2050.
Mm-hmm.
It's by.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, that's fine. That's just a typo.
Can be
so you can make a friendly amendment?
Well, I think it can be dealt with administratively. It's clearly a typo. But do we need a motion on it?
I don't think so.
We don't,
okay.
Play it safe. I'll
play
make a motion
okay.
that we make the friendly amendments in the second whereas as stated by legislator Nolan.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. And any further discussion on, we did have the clerk provided the restore from their $10 million grant. For this project, I did get a call from the county executive, which made me feel a lot better about it. Why did we sell property and now we're leasing it? And, you know, but, and I said, and what is the program? Because I hear about initiatives, but I like to see things in writing, and so this is provided. So I feel much, much better now. Yes.
Can you say more about what you learned? Because I did wonder exactly what you just asked.
Okay. Did you want to?
No, I don't know exactly what you're looking at, so I would...
Oh, the restore okay. application
oh,
for the $10 million in funding from New York State. But because it was a question about the workforce and other initiatives that, yes. Right. And also maybe, if you wouldn't mind, Deputy LaValle speaking about why we couldn't lease it ourselves and, yeah.
So... As you're aware, you know, the county can lease. However, we are limited to a 5-year term because there would be rather substantial build-out of the facility. And also, because the 10-year lease term provides an amount of kind of predictability as far as future renting of the facility, that it will allow iPark to go out and get bank financing in order to move the project forward. And it's one additional piece in building the project and building the financing to realize all the plans, the aspirations around iPark. That's very important. And again, the county can't do that, so that again is how UCEDA becomes a very important partner by being able to execute the 10-year lease. But it does underscore, again, why we're looking at this month in order to have the approval, because it will allow the lease to be executed and iPark to secure the financing that they need in order to make this all happen.
And the county executive also seemed very excited that it includes many of our local education and higher education institutes, BOCES and SUNY Ulster and SUNY Naples. So it enhances the program itself. And it's something that legislator Bobby Aiello had been talking about for years, educating them locally in this wonderful hub that we have, and then trying to keep them here. So I'm hoping the next steps through iPark 87, where they're going to be putting in, you know, housing units will help
mm-hmm.
too.
And it's also, as far as cost goes, it is a very attractive lease to have a long-term locked
okay.
in for the county at that rate.
Legislator Erner.
The 2%, thank you, the 2% increase annually, I saw another lease later, but we can talk about it when we get there. Who determined that amount?
It's part of the negotiation.
That's the negotiation that we're doing with UCEDA. UCEDA is doing with National Resources. Both.
It's also the county executive is also very involved in the negotiation, and that is one of the for leasing. That's absolutely one of the duties of the county executive is to negotiate leases and other types of arrangements like that. So.
I would just add that there can be benefits in leasing rather than owning, especially this building this size. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't want to own the whole thing.
As long as it's not triple rent.
Yes. So I think a lease arrangement allows us to have the use of the space and pay for what we're using and let others handle the bigger issues of the buildings and grounds.
Legislator Erner.
Thank you. I just had one more comment. I am going to support this. I am still digesting the comptroller's recent report about CARES 2 and some criticism she had for what's going on at UCD. I recognize that Deputy Laval, you're involved in that as well. I guess what makes me feel comfortable moving ahead is understanding this plan, supporting the overall plan to have this workforce center there, and the idea that it's really just it seems like a pass-through lease or a sublease, essentially. There's not really anything else going on here. Is that others' understanding as well?
Mm-hmm. I think that's a very good characterization of it. It's a pass-through. However, we've also been very careful in the agreement, the instrument, both with UCEDA and then with the county, to ensure that UCEDA isn't at any point put in a position where it could be responsible for paying rents when the county couldn't be in the space, or the space wasn't really completed, or wasn't up to the county spec. So that's been very thoughtfully lined up in that agreement, so that, again, we're not putting UCEDA in a position where they could be financially held liable for some kind of failing of National Resources or IPARC, or any situation like that. So knowing that we have some work to do as far as ensuring that everything at UCEDA is being really transparent, that all the finances are to the reporting is everywhere where it needs to be. However, because this arrangement would not financially expose UCEDA, we feel comfortable moving forward with it.
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions, comments? Hearing none, I will call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Moving on to resolution number 446. Authorizing the chair of the Elsa County Legislature to execute a lease agreement with Samadhi for office space at 368 Broadway. Motion for discussion.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any questions or comments on this? No, okay. Hearing none, I will call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstention? Okay. Legislator Nolan. Thank you. Resolution number 447, abandonment of a portion of Albany Post Road, County Route number 79, Town of Gardner, to adjoining property owner, authorizing the chair to sign agreement with the adjoining property owner. Motion for discussion.
I'll move it.
Legislator Nolan.
Second.
Legislator. Okay, we'll go with Erner. Legislator Litz, did you have questions for...
I looked it over, and I haven't seen any assessment of the value of the property that we're selling for a dollar. It looks like there is somewhat of a transfer between the property owner and the county, and then the county with the property owner, but it's an extremely small sliver adjacent to Albany Post Road.
It's 0.15 acres.
This portion. Mm-hmm. The portion there want to convey is this sliver right here. County gets this, they get this.
I'm sorry, which did you say the county gets?
This little white sliver right there. Mm-hmm. I mean, the property line of the property, and a lot of properties that predated towns go to the center line of the road, which this one does. But this is, this value of this land is nothing because the public travels on it. So this is the evaluation of what he's swapping for this piece here.
It just seems to me that the that small an acreage has no value to the county and just kind of it's clutter on our records and, you know, any responsibility
mean,
of anything happening.
You mean
on
this
it.
Piece?
The piece that we're giving back to the,
I can agree with that. I mean, it's worth something to the adjacent property owner. It's not worth much to anybody else because it's not buildable. And that's why he's acquiring it, because that makes his property buildable. So there is a value to him. But in the same token, we got a resolution coming up where we're going to charge BOCES $1,000 for renting in a county-owned building. I mean, we're giving a private entity property for a dollar so that they can build what they want to build and make a value of their property. But the students that we're teaching in BOCES or their computers so that they can do what they want to do, for the students, we're charging BOCES. It just doesn't seem right to me.
I can... That's a fair point, and it seems like we should adjust what we're doing with BOCES. This $1 for this type of very small land transaction is kind of historically the practice, and it would probably cost us more to find out how much that property is worth to that owner and negotiate a sale and do all that than we would ever make back from the amount of value in that land. I mean, what could it be? A couple of $100? I mean, so it's going to cost us much more than that in time and effort to figure out the right price. So they, my understanding is they're traditionally done for a dollar, and I think that's
fine. You could go to a real estate agent or pick three real estate agents and have them just give you an off-the-envelope quote over the phone, and then you would have somewhat of a ballpark value of the property. And then at least if we're selling it for a dollar, we know what the value of the property is that we are transferring.
And if I could, and then Legislator Erner, we've had this happen several times in the SOPIS. We had a resident who had kind of taken over a paper street, and she said, well, you know, the driveway's there in our garden, and the town did ask that she do get an appraisal. So it was up to the property owner who with the interest to do the appraisal, and it was minimal, but the town's also, because people have encroached on their property, kind of given it to them, and I don't like that is you know, setting a precedent to kind of turn over county owned properties. There should be some monetary exchange just to make it legitimate, and as Legislator Litz said, it does improve the value of the owner's property, because maybe they don't have to go out and fight for all the variances that they were looking for, even if it is only $500 or $1,000. Did you want to respond to what I said?
Just going to state that you could simply call the assessor for the town, because they're going to have to evaluate that and add this to their property value for tax purposes. So there is an evaluation somewhere done by someone.
Legislator Erner?
Yeah, I agree with everything that Legislator Litz has been saying, and I wonder, can Public Works or the executive the administration through the deputy comment, our resolution says that that to quote, the county no longer needs this the 0.15 acre portion of property now or in the future for public use for the operation of the county. What is going on the rest of that property to the, it looks like the north, which the county owns right now, possesses?
Nothing, it's just the gravel lot. Occasionally we stockpile material there for other projects, but we don't use it.
So, I'm okay with the notion that we will try to obtain
this used to be the road.
estimates of the value of property or ask property owners to do that. It does seem like a switch right in policy, or at least habit, tradition. So I don't know if this has already been negotiated with this property owner and whether we sort of have any moral obligation to follow through on something that we, you know, have set in motion. I do think it's a question of whether it would be a good policy. What I've seen it happen is when it appears to be a value, of some significant value, then we would go through that process, and that when it's this small and something that happened, what is it, nearly 50 years ago, that we just return it with and make it easy on everybody, in a way, make it sure that the property owner will say, yes, I'll take it back, instead of, like, you know, you put some price tag on it or make it hard, they might just say, well, I don't care, you've owned it for a long time, just keep owning it. And I think it does kind of clutter up our list of what properties we own and manage to have these little kind of scattered parcels. So I would suggest we pass this and then maybe have that discussion about what a policy would be. Maybe there's a minimum size where we, you know, get appraisals, and maybe it is 0.1 acre and this is over it, but it's barely over it if it is, in my view.
Legislator Litz?
Actually, the incident you're speaking of is not what we have here. The county owns this property from here all the way up. The county is going to subdivide their own property to give this to this LLC so that they can build something here. Right now, it requires variances, and they're helping him out by him not having to go and pay the town to go before the ZBA to get a variance. Mm-hmm. We're subdividing, which I don't know, there's a cost to that, I believe, a piece of our property because...
We're just cutting off the end of it, aren't we?
Yeah, I mean, this property never belonged to this owner. The bridge was here, and now the bridge is up here. So this is the old county highway and right-of-way where the bridge used to go through.
And it came to the county.
Well, when the county purchased all of this to put the bridge up here, well, then this is all county-owned property. And it does say lands of Ulster County.
Okay, yeah, I appreciate that correction and clarification. But I still believe that it's the tag end of a property that where we're not using it, and it's good in my book that it benefits somebody at no cost to the county. Does it rise to the level of being an unconstitutional gift? I'd say probably not. That's the reason you do at least a dollar, you know, so that you have a sale. It has no value to anybody else, clearly.
They're,
so it.
They're not county employees, right?
No.
Owners. Because
okay.
it's worth well over $75.
Is there a copy of the LLC and the owners of the LLC?
No.
So how much trouble would it be to go back and say, you know, the question was raised of whether this has value to you and, you know, can we sell this to you? Is that a reasonable course of action?
Sure. If the committee was to take no action and instruct me to go back and have them get an appraisal to us,
why don't we take no action then?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
That works for me.
If I can follow up on that.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a specific appraisal or, like you had mentioned, having even the town assessor provide something, what would suffice? Something on letterhead from the town or something from a licensed realtor? Or
be fine.
They're not paying taxes on it right now because they don't own it.
Correct.
And the county's not paying taxes on it because we don't pay taxes.
Correct.
So I don't know if the assessors can give us anything in this particular instance. And they don't allow what they give out, they don't usually like for it to be called an appraisal. So I think the idea of maybe contacting a real estate person in the area and saying, you know, you do real estate there, what is 0.15 acres worth might be the way to go. I mean, we just need a ballpark estimate, right? So that what the owner is getting has something that is you know, more reflective of the benefit to that owner.
Understood. I just want to make sure that I don't bring you back the wrong information.
Does it, anybody else
and
have a better idea?
That'll help the assessor, because the assessor is going to have to put a number to that.
That's right.
To get to the taxes.
Yeah, so that might be a good contact to just say, how much is this going to increase the assessment on the property?
Do you know, are they going to add it to the property? I guess they're going to have to in order to avoid the variances. So this will be a lot line on their side, too, to remove
they'll
this,
have to do
this
it.
Line.
Yeah, they have to go to the planning board for a lot line adjustment.
So the property as a whole, once it's added together, will have an assessed evaluation.
All right, so there'll be no action taken on resolution number 447. Thank you. Resolution number 448, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute a license agreement with the Ulster County Board of Cooperative Educational Services in relation to a one-month license. It's weird, it says license and not lease, at 701 Grant Avenue. Motion for discussion.
I'll move it. Second.
Okay. County Executive Deputy LaValle.
I can't keep up with the titles. BOCES has historically leased space at 701. They have, over the years, pared that down to their current footprint, which is very small, and it's just for a server room. Their lease expired this summer, their current lease. They are in the process of, instead of renewing the lease, of relocating that facility and finding a new home for their server room. So this was a one-month extension in order to just allow them the extra time that they needed to finalize the plans for relocation.
Okay.
So they're out of there now?
Oh, that's right. You brought up that the agreement only extended to
July 31st. The lease is from July 1st, 23 to July 31st, 23.
It's already gone.
It's kind of why are we even messing with this? It's past history.
Because it's a government to government.
Yeah, I think we want to have a paper trail on it.
Yes.
So they need it.
So if they were an LLC, we'd let them go, right?
So this is the same monthly rent that they had been paying?
And they were interested in iPark 87. Is that where they are now, or
not currently?
Not currently.
Okay. Because again, it's just their server room. There was a time when they were offering classes at 701. That was great a number of years back, from what I'm told.
Okay.
But again, this is just to.
All right. Thank you. If there's no other discussion, I will call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? So moved. Resolution number 449, amending the 2023-28 Capital Improvement Program, establishing capital project number 676 for various embankment repairs, amending the 2023 Capital Fund budget.
I'll move it.
Thank you. Second?
Second.
Any discussion?
Yeah. Put soil nails in?
Yep. It specifies it in the
legislative
resolution.
No.
I'm sorry, legislator list. What did you just say?
He asked if they were going to put
soil nails
in. You want a description of soil nails?
It's like a pin cushion.
I need some of those.
Hmm.
Keep the raccoons out of the hen house.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just wanted to state for the record that we're going to spend a lot of funds on this county road, and I hope that at some point we will have some sort of public transportation there, because most people cannot get to that road currently without a car.
Thank you. Okay, I will call the vote then. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? So moved. Next, we have resolution number 451, approving the execution of a contract for $379,600 entered into by the county with Otis Elevator Company. Motion for discussion.
So moved.
Second.
So does this mean we saved $11,000 because we approved 400? No, it doesn't.
The extra money is contingency.
Okay. The other question, Legislator Erner.
Thank you. Can someone describe what happens when the electricity goes out, how the passengers are rescued, manual operation, and or if the microprocessors that are operating the electronics go haywire, what happens then?
So in this building, the elevators are hooked to emergency generators. So they automatically drop to the first floor. Lower, I'm sorry.
That is a better verb.
You recall to the first floor.
Understood. And is that, again, with a microprocessor, does it not need that in order for that function to be carried out?
I'm going to say it's useful for a microprocessor to have that. Elevator's good to have a... It's good to have a microprocessor to function, to carry out that function.
Okay. Any other questions?
Yes, you can manually open doors. And if you're looking at the face on the exterior side, there's a hole, and that's the key that they call a gate. But it's a winch, really, that the fire control fire department puts in that hole, and they crank it open, so it can be opened.
Great. Thank
manually.
You. That makes me feel better. Thank you.
Or they use it. They put an axe through it a lot of times.
Oh.
Or they call it James Bond.
Stand back.
Some of the older ones that don't have that key. Right. Okay.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, I will call the vote. All in favor of resolution number 451? Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right, next we have resolution number 452, amending the 2023-28 capital improvement program, amending project number 653, Hall of Records Building, rooftop solar array project for construction services. That's a good one, right?
I'll second it.
Okay. This I'm very happy to see because we had approved the roof and the solar wasn't part of it, so it's nice to see that the solar is coming along too. Legislator Erner.
Thank you. So we had discussed a different electric hookup the county was doing in the health committee at Golden Hill, so I'm going to ask a related question here. Does the New York State's passage of Build Public Renewables Act make it so that, for example, we could create our own Ulster County electrical grid that would get us off the Central Hudson connection here and elsewhere?
The electricity that's being created and generated from this field, the solar array, is being sent back to the grid. That I know for sure. What you're talking about is a much larger project. Defer to others for that question, for that answer.
Do you know the size of the system compared to the load of the building?
This will generate about 56% of the building's electrical needs.
So it's being net metered against the building with it only covering 56% of the total annual usage. We will be doing evaluation of storage for in conjunction with solar arrays. However, that's not yet. We're planning to start that effort, and that would be necessary in order to kind of take that the next step.
So was there an energy audit on this building? Is everything energy efficient? And
the lighting has been retrofitted.
Okay.
The roof is now replaced.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's a lot of need for the HVAC system. There is perhaps more energy intensive than you would typically think of a storage facility because of the type of records that are being stored.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The dehumidification and all the climate kind of parameters are stringent, again, because of what you're storing there. So we've gone through over the years to look at those systems and make sure that they're functioning efficiently and properly. But again, there are significant demands on the systems to keep the buildings within the specs. You have to be very careful about the humidity.
Legislator Ernest.
Thank you. Thank you for explaining that. So then besides the battery storage study, would the administration be willing to look into the implications of the new state law and see whether the county
Absolutely.
Could build something like that?
Yes. Yes. I think that's an important next step of having storage for a facility, especially, you know, this one is interesting because of its location. It's a nice footprint that we have off Fox Hill there in Midtown Kingston, but that should be something that we're looking at, especially if we have buildings that are more kind of public-facing kind of community outreach centers. Like I think of Trudy Resnick Carver in Allenville, a building like that. So.
Thank you.
Okay, so I will call the vote on resolution number 452. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? So moved. Resolution number 454, amending the 2023-28 Capital Improvement Program, establishing capital project number 675, jail Axon body camera purchase. Motion for discussion.
Move it.
Second? this would be the county sheriff's. I think I've sat in on enough of these. I guess I understand them. Thank you.
Hey, take care. Take care of your dad.
I wasn't sure why this came to us, but it's okay.
It's a capital.
It's a capital project. So, yes, I'm ready to call the question.
Okay. All in favor of resolution number 454?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? So moved. Next, resolution number 464, establishing... Okay, so let's hop back over. I'm sorry.
We go back to the beginning?
Go back to the beginning.
Want to jump to 470.
Oh, we have one more, 470?
Yeah, you want
Thank
to do 470
you.
And that takes care of it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Resolution number 470, authorizing the submittal of an application to the Federal Highway Administration for funding under the PROTECT Grant Program.
I'm happy to move it.
Second. I did have a discussion with Director Doyle on this. He could not be here, unfortunately, tonight. Deputy LaValle, did you want to...
I think this is an excellent opportunity. It takes some of the really innovative work that the Transportation Council and the planning department have been working on with respect to transportation vulnerability, potentially to the next coast. And again, I think, you know, this should be at the top of everyone's mind.
Yeah.
Thinking about how we're planning for, what we need to do with the transportation system, and also doing work like this to potentially be better positioned to take advantage of any transportation money, bond act money, anything that could potentially help us to implement. Thank you.
Any questions? Okay. All right, so I will call the vote on number 470. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? So moved. Now, back to resolution number 426, establishing a Transit Riders Advisory Committee. Motion for discussion.
So moved.
Second?
I'll second.
Second, okay. And our clerk did print up a revised resolution. Legislator Erner and I had met with Deputy LaValle just to clean up some concerns, and one was a very good point. If we do not either have legislative liaisons or legislators on, how are they going to get the information to whatever committee transportation falls under? And I think other than that,
I appreciate the amendments that are offered here, and I think they're improvements, but I'm disappointed because we talked about, and I thought that if we were going to be doing amendments, we would have amendments that would establish the transit riders and intermodal transportation advisory committee.
Yeah, that was supposed to be on here.
And I think that in thinking about this, it would be good to think about these appointments having a range of expertise. I could imagine, for example, some parts of the committee meeting on transit and some parts of it meeting on intermodal. I did speak with Ryan Slack just very briefly, who's the transportation planner for Ulster County, and he said he'd spoken with legislator Erner some time ago, and I think this would really benefit from going and meeting with Brian and getting those kind of considerations addressed as we're setting this up. He did raise the concern about kind of meeting fatigue, because a lot of intersection of memberships, Traffic Safety Council, Trail Advisory Committee, kind of would come into this. And, you know, you could say, well, then just let it be just transit riders, as it was originally said, but it really won't be good if it's just transit riders, because people get off the bus, and then there has to be the next thing. And, it, you know, whether it's sidewalks or trails or on-road, I think we need all those people who have those kinds of expertise and experience working with the transit riders to make this really robust. So that would be my request, and I'm sorry that I didn't reach out to the sponsors, but at the time that we talked about it last, I thought they were pretty simple changes. Mm-hmm. Now that I've seen your changes, I'm wondering if it, you know, we should do that same kind of thinking around the intermodal or multimodal aspect of this. Multimodal is what I mean to be saying here.
Legislator Erner?
Thank you. I appreciate those comments by Legislator Nolan. Actually, before we began this committee meeting this evening, on seeing the marked up version, I was like, oh, we didn't put in stuff about Traffic Safety Board and trails. And also, I thought that if we're going to have somebody there from UCAT, from the Department of Public Transportation, perhaps also from the Planning Department, and there's a lot of departments that do some transportation, but you did mention Planner Slack, and I would think that at least another department that has some coordinating role among the different transit. But, I mean, Legislator Nolan's comments are leading me to wonder if, I mean, we currently have a standalone Traffic Safety Board. We currently have a standalone trails committee. Maybe we shouldn't have any of those standing alone. Maybe this should all be one big thing that has different aspects to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what I'm hearing from Legislator Nolan, perhaps, the alternative being you have liaisons. But we seem to have set up a structure here where the voting membership are the transit riders as a majority, organizations as a minority, and then a couple legislators to report back. I would also point out a community suggestion that there be a formal structure to the reporting. It's well that legislators are on the committee, and presumably they would report back to their committees or to the Public Works Committee, but if we formalize that, perhaps then it's clear.
Legislator Nolan.
So I like the idea of a one committee, except that the Trails Advisory Committee already runs a full agenda with what they have on their plate, and I think the Traffic Safety Board probably feels that same way. So, and I think that there is really important intersection of these aims and goals, that the people from the Traffic Safety Board might not want to sit and hear about all the trail improvements or maintenance projects or repairs, and vice versa. And some of the details of transit might not apply to people who are in, or might not clearly apply, obviously apply, to people in other parts of the county. So I think the idea of establishing this is good, and you've got a group that's already meeting and has
interests and concerns they want to bring. Mm-hmm. So I think the idea of liaison to those other groups is the way to go, at least initially, and see how it works. And if those liaisons are feeling like, oh, I need my other committee members here to, you know, work on this, then maybe we should think about a bigger committee. But I would definitely do all of this in consultation with our transportation planner and UCAT. So if you're agreeable to that, I would say take another month and, you know, go talk to Brian Slack, maybe talk again to Tony, and make sure that, you know, everybody is feeling like this is going to bring people together and be helpful. Because that's what it's intended to do, mm-hmm. very obviously.
And to have something more formal. I mean, the group that meets on Sunday mornings is an informal group of local people who are not really, you know, then the information does get filtered to a legislator. I don't know who will be on that, though, when we're no longer in office. So if it's not an official committee, that makes it very difficult, because then who brings forward concerns and recommendations? So I would like to see this as a separate committee. And just to clarify, because we have intermodal in one of the whereases, yeah. But it should be establishing the Transit Riders and Multimodal Advisory Committee. Yeah?
Yeah, that would be nice.
And in the whereas, we'll switch it from whereas users of intermodal, it'll be multimodal transportation and public transportation. And then we're looking for a resolved after that to establish where the pool of volunteers will be pulled from. Is that what you're...
I'm just seeing these amendments for the first time today, and so I hadn't gotten that far. So we changed the name in the resolved as well,
okay.
as in the
title.
Is that
the first resolved?
Second resolved.
Okay.
So there are three regular public transit users who were appointed. So in the it's the second resolved, I guess, at the top of the page two. It calls for public transit users for all those categories, and then
mm-hmm.
a legislative representative.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so I wonder if, you know, how
public
we would
transit
get...
Transit and multimodal.
Yeah,
What do we mean by multimodal?
Basically, cyclists who ride on the roads are, I think, a big part of this. They regularly put their bikes onto UCAT buses and then get off and
mm-hmm.
ride on the roads. So they have a little different perspective than somebody
yeah.
who gets on the bus who doesn't have their bike with them.
And I've known some, they don't take public transportation at all, but they're always on their bikes.
Yes,
so those
have some interaction. But I guess I was thinking mainly about the places where somebody's getting off, or transit users who have a stop that's far from their intended goal, their intended destination, might have things to say to the Trails Committee or to, you know, work with us on, I mean, the whole issue of sidewalks we agreed we would try to work on across the county.
Or even they split their... they split their trip and drive to a transit location and then get on, so they would be concerned about parking and those kinds of things
yeah.
and lighting, because you get off at night and you're going to walk to your car, you know, it needs to be safe.
But I guess the question is, would you only want on this committee people who are public transit users? That would limit the number of people that would be appointed who might have some of these
mm-hmm.
other concerns. But it would give you somebody who has those concerns plus being a public transit user.
And there are bike and trail users in RUTA. Rose is one.
Mm-hmm. Well, but that's current, you know. So
right.
What we did with the Trails Advisory Committee was we had almost 10 different categories to make sure that we got geographic and experience and all kinds of skills, and it's been very helpful to have it.
So maybe,
so how do we split this? It would be one public transit user and one multimodal, or would we want to put in one multimodal?
Why don't we take the original suggestion, postpone it a month so we can hash all that out?
I just want to make sure I'm clear.
I'm afraid if we start making changes here and then it goes to the floor and we vote on it and say, oh, why didn't we do this?
Yeah, because I could see instead of having two organizational representatives, maybe have one organizational and one multimodal person with multimodal experience or something.
Well, just later on through the chair, you might be looking at the wrong page where the appointees are defined. You might, I believe you're looking at the terms in office.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Flip back to see the total makeup of the body on the first page. There's four community philanthropic organizational members.
Okay.
And there's seven at large and two legislators.
Yeah, this is the better place to do this work, but we need to change the language in that second resolved as well.
Okay.
Yeah, good point.
Okay.
Excuse me.
Asterisk there.
Well, I'd be willing to take another month and work through this. The only and I appreciate the explanation and examples of intermodal. The only thing I'll add is that, I'd like to just add that. If this is based, it should be, the idea is that the committee should be able to give advice based on experience riding public transportation in Ulster County. There are a lot of kinds of users of public transit, as you've named a couple. I would like to add in someone who uses paratransit personally.
Good idea.
Well, that counts as public transportation, so.
But I would like to guarantee that someone on there is a paratransit rider.
And I think we might be able to do it with things like seven or six if you're going to make one a specific paratransit. But those members at large who regularly use or interface with the public transportation system. So that might be a simple way to describe somebody who's coming in and wants to have that connection to the public transit. And maybe I'm convincing myself that it's all of the people that I'm thinking of would be using it anyway.
Talking yourself right into it.
Well, it helps to talk these things through because you want to set your committee up to be able to function well and to help.
Set it up for success.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
So is that a friendly suggestion of either postponing or taking no action?
Yeah. I'll make a motion to be postponed.
Thank you. Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Resolution number 427, establishing a policy to set minimum frequencies and to prevent gaps on fixed route public transportation services. Motion for discussion.
So moved.
Second?
For discussion, I will second.
Okay. Legislator Erner.
Yeah, so in the past month, Chair Petit, you and I have had a meeting with Deputy Executive Laval about this. We had our special committee meeting in Esopus, and Legislator Nolan, you and the two of us also had some further discussion about this. And I believe I understand the administration's overall position that, and I'll invite Deputy Executive to jump in and correct me, but that overall you find that this may preempt some of what you're trying to do in the routing optimization study and plan, and that but that you'd be willing to experiment with some of the suggestions here and perhaps in the following resolutions, and is that a fair summary of where you're at?
Thank you. I think, yes, it's a fair summary. I think what's important to know, and I did speak with UCAT and also our UCTC staff about this, is that the limiting reagent to the equation right now is drivers. There's a very real limit to what we can provide. based on the drivers that we have. And if we were to sit down and talk kind of real details about service, where we think service is very underutilized, and perhaps how we could reallocate those resources in the drivers that we have towards certain routes at certain times that are being underused, if this is a priority, and look at some ways to reallocate those drivers. In the immediate near term, that is perhaps the kind of the reality of the situation is that we are most limited by drivers as our resource for routes. But you know, and as far as the near term, we are definitely, again, we have met again to discuss the responses on the routing study, what that could look like, what kind of options it will give us. This is a longer term. This is a year. It will be a year into that before we can start testing different routes, et cetera. So that is a longer term. However, that will be a very both public input and also a lot of data to go into looking at how can we efficiently almost like rebalance the system, make the transit more effective.
Well, Legislator Litz and then Legislator Nolan.
The thing with this one and the following resolutions is the financial impact is to be determined. I think we need to know what the impact is going to be before I can vote for it. How many electric buses do we have right now?
Three.
By 2030, all of our buses are to be electric, correct?
If we are to fully buy out our replacement schedule, yes.
Okay. How many of those electric buses were running today?
Zero.
So we're going to electrify our fleet in 7 years. The electric buses are not running now. The capacity of those buses cannot fully execute a run, so you'll need multiple buses for each run. You can't go to Ellenville and back.
You can on the routes, however, there are some constraints.
If you went to Ellenville, if we're going to do the proposal in this one or the other one, minimum frequencies and also express and regular routes, the bus can go to Ellenville. I don't think it'll make it back. If it does make it back, it's not going back down to Ellenville. So you're going to need multiple buses for that, just that one route. I'm trying to remember the factor. I believe it's 2.8. The cost of an electric bus is 2.8 times a regular bus.
It's 450,000.
How many buses do we have right now?
There's a total of, I want to say around 30 in the fleet.
30. So if we replace all 30 with electric, and then we have to have multiple buses per run, we're up to 60, maybe 90 electric buses.
So that I would push back on because,
okay,
you know, as we're part of looking at multi-year kind of plan, replacement
mm-hmm.
plan, is that battery charging, the battery size is changing in the pretty rapidly in the buses.
Okay.
Also, we have to think about, you know, do we have small depot somewhere else in the
yep.
on the system so that we can properly charge them. However, these are all things that as we're
what's
talking
the minimum
to
charge? What's the minimum charge on a bus? 6 to 8 hours, isn't it?
Less than that.
Less than that?
Three.
Okay.
So
you could go to Ellenville, come back, wait 3 hours, go back down to Ellenville and come back.
So one of the things that we're doing in we have a transit electrification study where we looked at, with available technology today, what routes can be electrified, what routes do we think can be electrified in 5 years, and kind of looking out from there with the technology.
Well, they're all going to be electrified by 2030.
What we're looking at, right, but...
Because we passed that law.
But knowing how we're going to set that. So what we're looking for in the routing study is to take the information from the electrification study, mm-hmm. the goals that the county has, and then start to say, how do we implement those? How do we also take into consideration our goals for more effective transportation mm-hmm. and transit? And of the interviews that we've done so far, in that there's often they have basically a software tool that says, okay, well, if you're going to run this route more frequently, if you're going to expand the service here, this is immediately what the cost would be
okay.
of that change in routing. So what we're looking at is that in a year, we'll have a tool that will be able to inform that with, you know, your driver, you know, how many extra drivers you would need, and also what the operating costs would be.
Okay.
And then also with what buses can run what routes, because they'll be pulling in that transit electrification study as part of the information that they take in.
Okay.
But that's all, like, that's why we're doing the study. If we were to look at current conditions, what we have right now, there might be some room for maybe addressing something that is brought up as a place we might want to look at, like brakes. However, we have a limited number of drivers, so we have to look at how do we balance that kind of gap in service with other routes or other ways we're using those drivers right now.
And
that will work as long as we have enough electricity to power all of that and charge them.
Great, but again, this is...
Last summer, the governor of California on a Tuesday got on his television station throughout the state of California and said, if you have an electric vehicle, please don't charge it
right.
until Saturday. So those people, I guess, call into work and say, I'm not coming in the rest of the week. We have...
Nobody take public transportation.
What's that?
Yeah.
No, they couldn't. The buses had to be charged too.
Oh,
anyway, my point is it seems like we're doing a little bit of the cart before the horse, because we need to know what the unintended consequences of all of these policies are, including the cost,
mm-hmm.
before I feel comfortable voting.
If I may just make one additional comment. The last order that we put in for full-size buses, because we do have an electric option for full-size buses at this time, was in February or March. We're not anticipating delivery anywhere before Q4 of 2024
mm.
or 2025. So there's also a significant build-out time right now. So it's challenging. It's not an easy situation to try to think through both our goals and also like the current condition and how we can improve that. But
well, there's our next manufacturing business over at iPark 87.
Yeah. Well, you should call them up and say,
yeah.
we have to comply with that law by 2030, so they better get built.
And that's honestly, in the electrification study, that's where we look at, okay, at what year do we need overhead pantograph? And we start buying pantograph rapid charging buses
mm-hmm.
so that for the longer routes, if there's like a 20-minute layover or stop
yeah.
in
yep.
Ellenville, they can overhead charge and be back out on the route.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're trying to balance in looking at the technologies into the future. And what we started off with depot charging because, frankly, it's the most cost-effective charging,
mm-hmm.
And also the buses were the most cost-effective for us to buy.
You said we just ordered some. What's the cost?
Gillig. So they're about, I believe it was, it was 1.8 to 2 million for three buses. So they're seven, we could,
oh wow.
So they're over two. So, because they're over 700,000.
Okay.
But the capital planning for transit is a very serious, big dollar item.
So I generally agree with Legislator Litz's comments. You know, I think that, and I appreciate the information from the Deputy Executive. I think we need to have the studies to help us know what policies, and I generally think it's better to, I think I said this last month, to get some small-scale experiments of trying things and see how they work and what goals they serve before we write it into policy. I appreciate the policy thrust in terms of helping us more clearly define our goals and to make sure that the goals of increased access for potential transit riders stays on the table along with the carbon reduction goals that we have. We have talked with each of the last UCAT directors about driver recruitment, and I would just say that if you know the executive's office or UCAT has any ideas on how the legislature can be helpful in terms of obtaining more drivers, retaining more drivers, I think that should be our highest priority at this point. It's actually a wonderful profession for people within the county to have employment. It does require some training and certification and all that, but I'd like to see us doing better on that, and I don't know where any of the pressure points might be. So keep us informed. If it's sending out notices, in our district and getting them, asking the town clerks to put it back on the cable access with some kind of ad, whatever it takes, I think we should do as much as we can to help you solve that part of the problem.
Legislator Erner?
Thank you. And I would have liked to actually make a motion to discuss all of this and the next two resolutions as a block, but be that as it may, I'll stick to 427. Here we are for the moment.
We can block.
I'll amend the motion.
And amend the motion to discuss, and we'll discuss all this.
Who moved? It was you and Legislator Litz. Would you like to amend your motion to make it a block of 427?
Yeah, I'll amend my motion to discuss 427, 428, and 429.
All right.
Along with 426.
Mm-hmm. And
no,
420,
no. 426. No, 427. Yeah, we already did that one. Sorry.
So on the amendment, all in favor?
On the block?
On the block.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Okay.
Cool. Legislator Erner.
Thank you. So, I understand that as a committee we don't have the will to advance this block of policy tonight, and I'd just like to address some of what we have discussed. So I hear the administration loud and clear, we need drivers, and the intention of all of this legislation was not that it be enacted immediately, and part of the reason for that delay was to address, among many other issues, the driver shortage. But obviously, and the administration, when Chair Petit, you and I all spoke, we also heard about the language around shall plan, and I've come up with my what I meant by shall plan. What that really means is it doesn't mean undertake a planning process. It means like get ready within the time that we've prescribed within the legislation to do this. That's really all that it means. I totally hear Legislator Litz's concern about the electrification that we've decided that we're going to do. For me, if I have to choose what we're doing, I'd rather get more people riding buses that can get them where they need to go, because that's going to save energy and emissions more as much as anything else that we do. Running empty electric buses doesn't do anybody any good, of course. I'd also just like to say, we all, whether we're driving private vehicles or riding in public transit, have to share a fixed amount of energy that's available. We're all sharing the fossil fuels that we extract. We're all sharing the electricity that we generate, possibly from fossil fuel burning and possibly not. And this legislation on the whole is meant to encourage us as a county, not necessarily to break down some of that dichotomy between public and private transportation. So I understand that it is a little prescriptive from the administration's point of view, but I don't really mean to be too much. My main prescription is based on rider experiences, which I have personally, but we've also read about in the coordinated public service, public transit human services plan from 2016, where there's a whole set of appendices full of comments about our public transit system. And then this long-range transportation plan, similar, there's like 150, 200 comments in there about riding the buses in Ulster County. So my sense from all of that and my work with the advocacy groups is that there are things that we could correct right away without really changing the cost. I respect where you're coming from, Legislator Litz, and I'm sure that there will be a cost, but it might be fairly minimal, for example, to take a cluster of buses that all leave Golden Hill between 2 and 2:30 right now and instead space them out so that one leaves at 2, one leaves at 3, one leaves at 4. Maybe, maybe not, I'm not sure, but it seems to me like that's an obvious place we could start. And then as far as the minimum frequencies, if you don't run it, then they can't ride, obviously, and you know, people, if they miss a bus, then they might miss their work day. So it's designed to, that one's designed to address that. 428 is more about if you're a place in Ulster County, an incorporated place, having some sort of access to get to and from that place. And I say to and from because just as much as Legislator Nolan's constituents in Denning who may want a bus once a week or once a month might to get out of Denning, my constituents in the city of Kingston might like to go to the Catskills as well for recreation, for work, for what have you. Maybe they got relatives to visit there. So I think it works both ways there. And the census-designated places are included simply because those are places that the federal government says are dense enough and significant enough to count as a block and be extra sure we know about the population there. And at the moment, there's at least a dozen such places in our county that don't have any public transit access, whatever that looks like. The last one, Express and Local, is again rider suggestions, understanding that people who have a choice will never choose to take the bus if it's not quick. The reason the Long Island Railroad is so popular for middle-class riders in Long Island is because it is the quicker and cheaper way to get to Manhattan. So if similarly, you know, we had a bus that went from 9W and Esopus straight to Ulster without having to go meander through Kingston first, you'd see a world of difference in terms of ridership, in terms of people's ability to get jobs from, go shopping from one to the other. In my opinion, but what we're hearing from ridership, I would say, is what's being asked of us as well. So I appreciate you letting me narrate a little bit here. There are instructions here that we collaborate with the municipalities, with commercial, industrial, residential facilities that would be served by these expansions. And again, I just I think some of this we could implement without having to wait for the administration's plan to come back, but I did finally read the RFP today, and I'm excited by a lot of what I see in there. So, thank you.
And I'm not sure who had their hand up first. Did you want to respond first, Deputy LaBelle? Okay.
just want to, again, just underscore the reality of the limited resource that drivers are currently to the system and making any kind of nearer term changes. You know, although it would be great to get headways in Kingston down from an hour or 45 minutes and make that service more frequent up and down Broadway, for example. And if we were able, let's say, to pull two drivers off that, you know, we could get off the New Paltz loop that's not serving a lot of people each day. Mm-hmm. Is the priority to do that, or is it to run service to Denning? You know, it's hard because this feels like a menu of all possible things, and the purpose of the study is to help us take the public comment, mine the old documents, go out and do new outreach, and help prioritize that in a way that we can then come up with the impacts to both drivers as a resource and also the cost involved. Like, that's the purpose of going through a comprehensive planning activity.
So, you know, we're elected as legislators, and so it's natural to think that the way to get things done is to write legislation and to legislate. But my experience has been, and it started as my experience before I got elected, was that to work with the executive's office, to work with the Transportation Council, to work with UCAT, and basically to bring these kinds of suggestions in was often much more effective, much quicker, and allowed us to gather that information from kind of real-world pilot studies, if you will. And this administration is as good as or better than very good administrations we've had, who always welcome that from me, both as an elected official and as a citizen prior to being elected. So I think these are all great ideas. I just think we're not ready for the legislation on it. And so the Transit Riders Advisory Group could be a part of that, but you individually and others, you know, from that system, I think we just should start doing this work and not try to form it into policies yet, because our goal here is to help. And every time we pull somebody to go figure out the right policy, they're not doing some other part of the job that we will want them to do. And I think problem solving is the priority that I would strongly urge us to take on, you know, collaboratively, and I've got very willing partners. So let's do the problem solving, let's get the transit study, let's fix anything we could right away that, you know, somebody says, yeah, okay, we do have a driver who could do that, or we work together on getting more drivers. And, you know, just take a pause on the fact that we've got so much that needs to be done in this system. And, you know, it's a shame. I mean, the bringing together of UCAT and the city bus system was a real opportunity. And I think we have slipped down instead of rising up since that bringing together. I still think it was right to do it, but I think we've got to, like, restart the whole system and not just try to fix from where we are. So,
Legislator Litz?
Phil?
Yes?
There's an intermediate step I think you could also concentrate on that will get you towards your goal. Rockland County has a very good, not very good, but they have a pretty comprehensive transit throughout the county. It's not very big, there's only three towns, but a lot of people. But above and beyond that, they also initialized some private entities. I commuted when I worked in Rockland County. I commuted with seven other people. We got this thing called an Easy Street Van, whereby we chipped in money and then we took turns driving it down to work. So that was seven cars that were not on the road. When I worked in the Bureau in Albany, there was a gentleman who was quite a fellow, an entrepreneur, who also worked in the same building with me. He bought a used school bus. And every morning, he took 28 people from Catskill to the state campus. everybody chipped in and bought gas and paid tolls. I think if we get people thinking and moving in that direction, like maybe from Denning, they mm-hmm. had a hired van, and then that would prove to UCAT whether there was a demand or not. That would help with that study. So I think there's an intermediate step that we're trying to skip over to prove the demand and whether it's worthwhile to go to Denning or worthwhile to go to New Paltz. I think there's some things that can be done to take people off the road, put more people in one vehicle, save those miles, save that fossil fuel, and move in a direction where change sometimes is a tough thing for people. And everybody's used to the convenience of jumping in their car to go someplace because it's immediate. If you have to wait 20 minutes for a bus, you go, let me just take my car. But if there was another way where, you know, groups of people were moving, especially to like the mall. I mean, there's a lot of people that go to the mall. And your neighbors go to the mall. So if you said, listen, Thursday night, 6 o'clock, I'm going to have a van. Let's all go to the mall on Thursday nights. Mm-hmm. There's a group of people that live in Long Island that purchase meat from Veterans Pork Store. One every week, somebody goes up to Veterans. So you only have to go once every 11 weeks. That's only one car buying the food for everybody for that whole week. It saves on mileage. It saves on people's time. Adapting to that change is where we need to get people moving.
I heartily endorse this suggestion. I like to have people doing shopping night instead of casino night as a social
which
activity.
You're both spending money.
Not necessarily disparaging casino night, but just I like shopping night. And I also think we should consider, and maybe the executive team could look into, whether having a person at the county who could help coordinate such activities might be a worthwhile use of resources, potentially even better use of resources mm-hmm. than hiring somebody mm-hmm. at UCAP for other types of purposes.
That's how Rockland County does it.
And so having that person, maybe even, you know, Office of Aging, maybe if they could pilot something on it, or maybe we just could say this has enough to merit, you know, doing it, you know, hiring a consultant to do it for us for a little bit of time. But I think that we're a big enough county, you know, as big as some states, that having people have to do this on their own may be a pretty heavy lift. So I like it if they can do it on their own. We can get that idea out there, but I would also support the notion of some county dollars to rev that up.
And I really appreciate all of the work that Legislator Erner has been putting in, and I jumped into, you know, these other meetings, and we've met with UCAT many times a little bit later on. I'm just as frustrated with, you know, another study. And I think we have another transportation study that's going to be coming up again soon because something was outdated as of 2018 and it was supposed to be done every 5 years. And the RFP, it has a lot of interesting points, but it also seems to focus on the existing routes. So, you know, personally, I'm looking for, again, that outreach. Thinking outside the box is an amazing idea. And if we could do something interim that hopefully would take off as a complete project or a program, and not just wait for another study to come out. You know, my 2004 Grand Am had broken down. They couldn't figure out what was wrong with it, but I went 3 months without a car. You know, and again, traveling from Port Ewan to New Paltz, which is only 13 miles, took 2.5 hours, and there was no direct route. and I had to use a lot of personal time because I had to leave early. And I even flagged down a Trailways bus once, which did stop for me. But it's you know, I would love not to have to take a car. You know, there's times where I love the commute with other people. Legislator Liz.
Rockland County, how they came about it, they did a destination study.
Okay.
And mm-hmm. they had people looking at clusters,
mm-hmm.
and they said, there's 40 people that are coming to work in this 0.2 mile, and they all come from exit 17 on the thruway,
mm-hmm.
or exit 18.
So was there a shuttle?
It was a bus called Easy Street.
Okay.
It was a, they gave it to us, but they didn't give it to us. The company had it. We left it in the parking lot in Newburgh at the exit 17. We all met there at 6:30 in the morning. We got in the bus. We go down. We stop. They give us a credit card for the gas. We stop, fill it up, go to work. After work, you get in the van, you drive it back up to New Paltz, and then we all go home.
Mm-hmm.
But that all came out of a destination study that Rockland County did. And you'd be surprised. I mean, it's, even if, you know, there's like a company that has 3 people, and this company has 5 people, and this company has 7 people, but they're all located in the same area, the next thing you know, there's 10 or 15 people that are commuting from Kingston to New Paltz.
Mm-hmm.
So the county just put that together,
mm-hmm.
and then the rest was on us.
Mm-hmm. So it's a form of microtransit, but it's mm-hmm. not a
yeah,
car with 2 people.
Yeah, right.
That's what worries mm-hmm. me, the car
that's
with
exactly
2 people.
That's exactly what it was. And,
yeah.
and for it to make sense, you had to have over 6, maybe 7.
Mm-hmm.
We had 8, so it was actually much more beneficial. But that's 7 cars that weren't on the road. And we got so many things solved. Because
well,
we all worked
were
at the Trueway.
Together. Yeah.
And we were,
yeah.
literally, we were working like the minute we got in the van
yeah.
talking about, you know, hey, we got that 10 o'clock meeting. Do, you know, and it was beneficial for everybody.
And the company, they were getting off-hour conversation.
And if I can make just a fun comment following up on that, it is complicated, you know, to look at where you can expand it, where you maybe, you know, a route change is warranted, but also not what's the word? I'm sorry, I'm missing it right now. But we have a lot of folks who have used UCAT for 10, for 20 years. We have legacy users or folks who are very committed to public transit and not kind of pushing them out of the system when you're making some kind of change as well.
Mm.
So those are all, it's complicated. It's not easy, but you know, near-term things that we can look at with the resources that we have and the latitude that we have to make changes. I mean, that's something that UCAT is, and the exec's office is definitely willing to talk about, but knowing that we have to, the bigger picture requires a bigger plan.
Legislator Erner.
Thank you. I understand all that. I mean, our public transit has pushed riders out, though, over the past decade, and, you know, how do you pick the priority? Like, let's restore the G route to Marlboro. Let's restore the bus between Woodstock and Saugerties that was there till about a decade ago. My constituents lost Wilbur when the consolidation occurred. I'm not saying that there aren't other priorities, but that's very frustrating. I was talking with Tom Legislator Corcoran about Marlboro, and he's getting ready. He's building the shelter in Milton, and I will be advocating right with him the second that he's asking for that to be
mm-hmm.
brought back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in throughout the city of Kingston, the buses circulate one way. There was a story in the paper about a 40-year rider of public transit in Ulster County, and her takes her 20 minutes in one direction, an hour in the other direction, even though there's no traffic, really. It's because the bus only goes counterclockwise.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the user experience would make obvious that's not so great, but I understand there are a lot of considerations. So anyhow, it sounds like we'll need another month, so I'd like to make a motion to postpone.
Okay. Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Chair Petit, I think there were people who were attending the meeting who wanted to make a comment. Do we have space for that?
We do. We have one more resolution.
We have two more resolutions.
Oh, we have two. Yeah. Where's it?
430 and 464.
Take a bathroom break, excuse me.
Okay. 430, I crossed off. Wasn't that one that he kind of blocked on?
No, that's...
The traffic demand study?
That was not part of the block.
430, 433, and 464 have not been...
433 was postponed. It was my mistake.
No,
I double included it on the forthcoming. So the only ones we still have left are 430 and 464. 433 was postponed in the Energy and Environment
Committee. Okay. I thought we did 464.
No.
No.
That is another one of legislator earners.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm misreading it. 454. Sorry. Okay. So where are we? 430?
I thought we did 420 and 430 in that block. So
it was 426.
No, we did 427,
28, 29. Gotcha. Okay.
30
all right.
We didn't do.
Well, we're missing legislator Erner, and I'm sure he'll want to discuss that. So
we can get it moved, and he'll be back.
Okay.
I'll move it.
You move it? Okay, very good. Second.
Resolution 430, establishing a traffic demand policy.
Okay.
And when Phil comes back, we'll tell him we voted on it.
All right. Is this something that, I don't know, okay. All right, so you want to tell him that legislator list about the vote?
You missed 430. We just voted on it.
Oh, I'm in favor.
Well, you should have been here then.
He's just giving you a hard time. We did
so
move it.
So we have a motion and a second for discussion.
We did.
Oh, great.
I just had a question about this, of again, whether Brian Slack and the UCTC, our Ulster County Metropolitan Planning Organization, have all been involved in this, in the development of this resolution. And
they were not. We did hear a, would it be fair to say, ringing endorsement from Leonard Doyle, though, at the Economic Development Committee meeting.
Okay. I'll let that carry for me.
Okay.
And I appreciate Legislator Litz's amendment. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So if there's no other discussion, should we call a vote on it? Are we ready to... Yeah?
I have one piece of discussion.
Legislator Erner.
This is a map of the green. This is Uptown City of Kingston. And the green is car storage, also known as parking.
Yeah?
It doesn't include the streets.
Well,
God, and I can't get a parking space. I must be looking in the wrong place.
If we didn't have as many cars on the road, you wouldn't need as many cars.
That is
well,
correct.
If they were on the road, I could get a parking space.
I want to thank Clerk Tierney for creating that illustration.
Thank you. Okay, so I will call the vote then. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? So moved. Our final resolution is number 464, establishing a policy to provide public transportation in relation to county facilities and sessions of the Ulster County Legislature. Motion for discussion.
So moved.
Second? I'll second. Okay. And we did, I just forwarded to you, we have gotten two letters of support from RCAL, one from their deputy director and one from their director. You know, given that many of their clients are not, are non-motorized, you know, and there's been comments about being able to attend meetings but not having transportation to get back. Legislator Nolan.
Yeah, so... I just think that this, so to address the letter from RCAL, many of our RCAL's clients, I think the percentage is probably most, would qualify for paratransit to come to meetings. And so, while I appreciated their being willing to write a letter of support, I'm not sure that their constituents are better served by a policy like this. I just think this is really unworkable, since we don't know what time our meetings end. And so we could get people here, but how do you, it is one of those particular circumstances where you don't have a fixed time frame. And I don't believe anybody wants us to set up a system where you'd have the last bus running at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock to make sure that the meetings were over. Or you get people here and then they have to leave in the middle of them. So, again, I just think this is a policy before there's a solution. And writing policy to obtain a solution just means we're doing it all theoretical. There's no ground truthing of this. So I'd like to see us try something, maybe something along the lines of the private sector, or some community group, family, maybe Harambee, that would say, let's get, an activity where we go to those meetings and they have a vehicle. Many of the nonprofit organizations do. Bring people and take them home immediately after they finish with what they're here to do, or the meeting finishes, or whichever way that they want to set it up. But I just can't endorse a policy of doing this before we have any idea how it would work.
Legislator Erner.
Yeah, it's clear how this would work. With all due respect, this just says we would delay the bus until the meeting is over. That's just because it's a public bus. I mean, if you go to any activity that you have somebody driving you back from and it's ending at an unspecified time, they're going to have to wait, and that's factored in. If you take a charter bus to some sporting event and it's baseball and it's extra innings and it goes 15 innings, they're going to be waiting and you're going to pay more. And if it's a quick game, then you'll pay less. But the idea is, I'm sorry that we're focused on this, because the focus of this resolution is really about giving people access to their government. We run public buses that currently come to the meetings, but they end before the last run won't be able to get you home. The last bus out past Woodstock, I think, is probably at 3 or 4 in the afternoon as it is. Other parts of the county get it a little later, but it's no guarantee, even though we technically have buses into the 10 o'clock hour. Would it make a difference if it was just for sessions and certain specified buildings like DSS that a lot of people go to? Because I know that this is far-reaching. We're talking about all the county facilities that people could go to, of course, many of which close at an hour which the bus already would accommodate, like 5 o'clock, but some of them close later than that. So the idea is just to not cut people off simply because something is happening that's the public business based on the schedule of the buses.
Legislator Litz and then Legislator Nolan.
So you see this, that the last bus would leave to go wherever they're going till after session?
Right.
So the one that goes to Woodstock that usually leaves at 3 o'clock will now leave at 9 o'clock because one person out of the 8 people on the bus wants to go to legislative session. I think there'd be a mute. Because I think they would want to, the other 7 people want to go home and not wait.
No, I understand what you're saying. It delaying the bus maybe doesn't make sense, but you should have an extra bus.
Which then goes to the bus driver.
So what this is, but by the way you describe it, saying it's very clear how it would work, is not that it would be public transit as we currently have it set up, but it would be a charter bus system that the public runs. That's an idea, but it is a big idea to put on, it's an additional service. So is it clear how it would work? Well, it's an idea that could work. It would have certain costs. It would need drivers that are willing to be charter bus drivers, which I don't know, but might be harder to get than some of what we already have. Maybe it would be easier.
But it would be, I think, a quite a big expense. Is it worth finding out about it? Yes, absolutely. I love the impulse to make things more accessible. But would it make more sense to have libraries open up in each of the communities and let people zoom in instead of moving people physically on buses at these hours? I think this is an idea to bring and discuss and nurture. And as a, you know, I appreciate that. But I do not think this is ready to implement because we don't have a clue, really, of how to do it and who would benefit and what it would cost.
Legislator Erner and then Deputy LaValle.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that suggestion about opening libraries. And I mean, unfortunately, we don't have hybrid meetings for all of our committees at the moment or call-in options for making public comment. You have to come to the session or you have to come to the committee, actually, to even participate in the committee live as it stands. We don't actually have a way. And I do have other legislation in other committees this month that would address those items. I also have legislation in another committee that would address the fact that session is always in Kingston. I'm a Kingston legislator, but perhaps moving it around would make it so that more of our constituents around the county could participate without having to bus everybody everywhere every month. So I can respect these concerns, certainly.
We do. I mean, we do have one session at the college.
When they do the budgets, they travel, but that's not a bad idea.
They're not well attended when we travel for those budget meetings. I go to them, and it's the legislators that are there and maybe one or two other people. But that's a different story. Sorry.
I just a couple of comments, if I may. I think that it is hard. Did outreach, a significant amount of outreach around transportation, and it was hard to have to get, the participation that you would have liked in those meetings. And just also knowing that there are, I appreciate you talking about the various barriers to participation, because I think transportation may be one, but language, childcare, there are certainly, those are other ones that come to the top of my mind, but there's certainly multiple barriers to participation. Having young children, it's great that you could take a bus there, but you can't do that. It's just not doable, especially in the evening hours.
And you can't leave them on the bus.
Even with the windows rolled back.
but also, just again, when I'm thinking about this, and I think about, well, which routes? All the fixed routes that are leaving Kingston, there's kind of, there's a ripple effect as to the cost and the impact to the system and the impact to provide all the other day-to-day routes and options, again, with limited bus drivers.
Limited number of routes, is this
really the best use of the staffing resource that we have right now?
Legislator
Erner. Thank you. I mean, I have an opinion, but obviously I don't have another answer to that. The issues that Deputy Executive raised are certainly very good ones. I've had conversations with with the County Executive about a language policy for the budget, and child care is a barrier to getting to meetings, and I think we should provide it so that people can come, and we should provide food. There's a lot of things we could do. School buses is another way. Maybe that's our charter contract to make this happen. And I have other legislation that's tied up with the clerk and council that hopefully I'll introduce for September, but I allude to it in some of the other measures that we talked about. And
So how would you like to proceed?
I'll move we postpone.
Okay.
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, so moved.
We do have, I'm sorry.
Just related to this, could we maybe convey to the executive's office, we passed legislation and funding for simulcast in Spanish and English this session.
We did.
And I'm just wondering if we could get an update on that, because it'd be good to have that.
Yeah. All right, so moving forward, I have two things to enter into public comment. The first one was received from Barbara Budick, who's the Saugerties resident, commenting that the stretch of the highway between Glasgow Turnpike and State 212, there's only two suggested 40-mile-an-hour signs, which is not a strong enough indicator of the danger and to allow enforcement. She's offered to go door-to-door and ask people and businesses what they think. She's done it before, and it would look good for public involvement. Let's see, looks good for public involvement, it wasn't effective at all. Essentially, she's concerned about the safety issues. Stretch of highway, she doesn't mean Kings, does she? Is it just
no.
in general?
Well, I would 212 is in like a state highway.
Yeah, okay. And then we also have, yes?
No, I was just going to comment to that. Whether it's a state highway, a town, a village, a county, that still has to go through the New York State Department of Transportation Traffic Division, and they will look at the warrants under the MUTCD, Manual of Uniform Traffic Control Devices, and that will dictate how many signs, where they're placed, how far from intersections, all of those good things. So you just cannot routinely go out and say, oh, I'm going to put some more signs out here.
Can you say again, it's the New York State
MUTCD,
and but the agency that they go to with that request?
New York State Department of Transportation, and this is Region 8, so to go to the Poughkeepsie office.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Manual of Uniform Traffic Control Devices.
Mm-hmm.
And ironically, the federal government also has an MUTCD, and they've actually accepted most of New York State's as part of the federal one.
And this, her earlier text is a little clearer. Coming home from Kingston, there are traffic signs 40 miles an hour from Sauk Hill Road all the way through the Glasgow Turnpike and to the first solar panel installation on Myers Lane. After that, there's only one actual traffic speed limit assigned to 212. So I think she's just worried about the trucks entering and there being enough, and she says there's also no sign indicating that there's a truck entrance.
The town supervisor can write a letter to Lance McMillan, the regional director of Region 8. His telephone number is 831-5753.
Okay.
And he'll send this to the traffic department. They'll look at it and they'll respond. They respond to every letter they get, every request.
So through the chair, the legislator lists. Is that the same mechanism that the supervisors would use to try to change the speed limit?
Yes.
Thank you.
Sign, speed limit, any traffic control device.
I had a supervisor ask me that today.
Mm-hmm. I'll see that.
But I think they're already working with DOT and they're not getting the answers they want, probably because the MUTCD doesn't
allow
what they want. Is there another way?
Not really. But they'll give me an explanation. I mean, it's just they don't just say, no, we're not going to do that. They will quote, and, you know, the section of the manual or even state highway law in their response.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, and Legislator Erna.
I just wanted to mention, I know we have guests.
Yeah, so invite them up to the table.
I had one item, there should be both pretty quick, one item of new business and one of old after that, if that's all right.
Okay. All right, should we finish public comment and then go into, is that all right with you? It's just going to be like a 2 to 3, just to enter into. Yeah. Okay, so welcome. It's Craig and your last name?
I'm Craig Kelly, yes.
Kelly.
Hi, I live in the town of Ulster. And I would like to thank you Chief to allow me to make a brief statement regarding the homelessness crisis we face here in Ulster County, and specifically the renovation of the Elizabeth Manor. As you're aware, nearly a year and a half ago, the county purchased the property and announced it would be renovated into emergency temporary housing for the homeless. But since that time, costs have skyrocketed to the point to where some consider it no longer a viable option. I understand some of you feel those costs are much too high to be workable, but that begs the question, what are the other options? Chairman Petit has suggested selling the property and using that money to purchase a turnkey property to be used for this purpose. If Resolution 468 is passed and the project scrapped, it's my hope the remaining $1.9 million in funding that was earmarked for this renovation will be used to purchase a property suitable for use quickly. It's also been suggested that an engineer be hired to do another survey of Elizabeth Manor. But I just see that it doesn't make any sense, because what if he does an evaluation, more delays, and then it's decided not to go through with the renovation anyway? And more money and more time will have been wasted. I know that it's also been suggested that the entire project be turned over to the family of Woodstock or Rupco for renovations. But if that happens, I'm concerned is that will that even result in further delays than, say, purchasing a turnkey property would do, with the funds already previously earmarked for the renovation, assuming it's scrapped. And finally, I know that you sympathize and you genuinely care about the least fortunate among us and only have the best intentions. Yeah, I think there's a time when those intentions need to translate into actions, and I realize there's no easy solution. I reached out to Mr. Uchitel from HHS, and he got back to me in regards to Resolution 425. And he expressed his safety concerns that, you know, we can't have people just camping out on public property. But I have to believe that there is some kind of solution in the middle between having people camping out on public property and dumping $4 million into a project you think is unworkable to begin with. And that's why I support using that funding to look for a turnkey property that could be put into use more quickly. And I don't know. I decided over a few days, I got a little petition, which reads as follows. With the homeless crisis in our communities here in Ulster County only worsening, we recognize the dire need to house our most vulnerable citizens. With the renovation of Elizabeth Manor possibly put on hold, we urge you to explore other options. And these signatures are everyone from business owners to even a couple of members of Kingston law enforcement. They all recognize the need for something to be done. You know, and like I said, I know you genuinely care, and I know you have the best of intentions. But the way I see it, the time to act is now. It's been a year and a half already, and people are suffering. I used to be one of them, not here in Kingston, but I know what they're going through, and I know their frustration. And so finally, I wish that everyone could just come to some agreement and to do something with the urgency it needs to be addressed. Because I see this need as not only being essential to the mental, emotional, and physical well-being of the unhoused, but also it's critical to the overall health of our communities at large. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you have copies? Would you like a copy?
I can certainly, if you'd like to give it to me, I can.
I mean,
certainly entered into the minute.
I mean, I have, sure. Thank you.
Yeah. I appreciate those comments. I just would set the context that we have had the county executive's office, as I understand it, looking for turnkey properties and have not been able to identify any. So it isn't that there's that obvious solution sitting there and people not taking it.
No,
it's
I realize
that.
I
it's
like that,
that the, we're trying to move forward looking for something that could be a better investment than Elizabeth Manor. My personal feeling is it's going to be very hard to find that,
and we've already invested enough that we should push through on that particular project. We'll have to see, you know, how everybody on the legislature falls out on that and what the executive's office can bring to us on it. Largely depends upon, for me, exactly what you said. What are the available other options that might move forward with less time or less money? All definitely open to all of that. But I'm not seeing less time and less money materializing. So let's do something. And the county is doing many somethings, I think, that are just all several years behind where we need to be. The Quality Inn project, Golden Hill project, I think the Elizabeth Manor project. You start to add all those rooms up. In 2 years, if we pushed ahead on all of those projects, we could be housing the people that are looking to get housed in Ulster County today. Now, that will generate more people coming in and wanting housing, so we'll still get behind. But we can then keep going forward from a better place than where we are right now, I think.
In the interim, I do have a couple ideas maybe I could discuss with you briefly after the meeting if you'd like me more. Because I don't want to take up too much of your time on this. But,
sure, thank you.
Okay, I appreciate your time again. Thank you very much.
Legislator Erner, you have new business?
You're okay? Yeah. You do have comments?
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to check that I understand that Ulster County Transportation Council's operating procedures has Ulster County Area Transit as having a non-voting representative. I haven't been to all the meetings, but I have been to many of them. I don't generally see a UCAT person attending. Is that something that the administration is aware of, or could, okay.
I mean, in the past,
yeah, they always
yeah,
have in the past.
They have.
Yeah.
But I guess
might be something just bring
we've
up.
Changed the head of UCAT two or three times in the past year. Maybe you could just remind
them
that.
Absolutely, and I think it's probably one of those things that has just, from being pretty focused on operations lately at UCAT, that may have slipped off the radar screen, but I will absolutely bring that up.
But you did hire a new deputy, and is there another one to fill?
So
we would love to see a planner in that position.
Yes.
But
so we actually rewrote the job spec to focus more explicitly on transit innovation.
Okay.
And we're re-advertising, looking for someone who's interested in not just running a bus system, but looking at
improving
the bus system and also fleet electrification. Someone who has some background and interest in moving forward through that process. So we'll be reposting and re-advertising that position.
And I would just suggest that the new director of UCAT is somebody who's very skilled, I think, in grant negotiations or grant applications and management, and also very connected with the members of the UCTC. So I imagine there are a lot of communication going on even without that committee attendance. But the committee does have a specific function, and I think it's a good thing that encourage the director to be there as well. But I think that a lot of the work that some liaisons would need to go to that meeting for probably can be accomplished by the current director without that specific setting, without participation.
Thank you. And old business?
Yes, bus shelters.
Mm-hmm. Bus shelters coming from Legislator Eric Stewart and well, Legislator Corsher and the town of Marlboro had purchased their own. I think they have two or three that they put in themselves. But what is the status of that? We do have a capital project specifically that says bus shelters, and we moved $500,000 and it was originally $250,000.
We have a capital project established. We've been discussing and getting some examples of a different model that was recently used by Dutchess County, where they partner with a with a, actually an advertising firm in order to build the bus shelter. You know, you still do it to specs. We're getting that spec so we can evaluate that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just frankly been a matter of staff bandwidth and staff capacity at this point to kind of take on that initiative on top of the capitals that are going on at UCAT and a lot of the other projects right now. There hasn't been a lot of staff capacity.
So is there something we could do then to
no,
help that? I mean, I had gotten price quotes on bus shelters, but,
right, but
partnering with a business is brilliant, especially if it was somebody more like Spectrum or in a fiber optic, because, you know, we were looking at the Cadillac shelter, of course, which would have you be able to charge your phone, and it would have screens where you could see where buses would change, so real time bus schedules, and yeah, I don't know if like Mayonetti
all run by solar, I hope.
All run by solar with, you know, environmental controls, so there may be some heater air. But yeah. squirrels?
Oh,
pedals. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a health initiative, too.
Yeah.
Actually, that is a great idea.
But if you needed help...
our farm used to generate electricity using a horse and a dog.
Wow.
Okay. You know, either collecting more information or... Yeah, because I understand you have limited staff, but you know, we've got some... really bright people out there that could. Legislator Erner.
Yeah, so I want to thank the deputy executive for that update. Partnering with an advertising firm could be great. I personally would love to see information at bus shelters pertaining to other county services besides taking the bus.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's in paper
food
format,
pamphlets, yeah.
For pamphlets, or electronic displays, as the case may be. I remember that at Kingston Plaza, a few years ago, UCAT had installed some sort of smart pad thing that showed the schedules, and it quickly got smashed to bits. But presumably, we can make it a little bit more durable at a shelter that we control,
mm-hmm.
or at least that we install.
Make a motion that we adjourn.
Second? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? So moved. All right.